I'm not complaining, Narmon. There have been times I've been tempted to complain, that's true. In fact, there have been more than a few times when I wanted to kick you smartly in the posterior. On the whole, though, I've been able to tell myself, honestly, I think, that most of the things you've done, including the ones that have caused me the greatest concern for the state of your soul, came about as a result of the situations you faced. Conflict between Emerald and Caris, for example, was probably inevitable, whatever you wanted, just because of geography. But, she continued very seriously, looking into his eyes so that he could see the truth in hers, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't rather relieved at the way it finally worked out. I know our parents never expected it, Narmon, but I truly do love you, you know. And I love our children. Knowing Caleb isn't going to be looking for your head or seeing the boys as a threat that needs to be dealt with takes an enormous weight off my mind and heart. Narmon raised his left hand, cupping its palm over the hand still on his cheek. His right hand reached out to settle on the back of her neck and draw her forward as he leaned forward to meet her until their foreheads touched. It wasn't often she expressed her feelings for him that clearly, and he closed his eyes for a moment while he savored it. It doesn't end here, you know, he told her then, his voice low. Caleb was right when he told Travis this is only the beginning. By siding with Caleb, I've sided against the Temple, and Clinton's a far more vindictive enemy than Caleb could ever be. Not to mention the fact that the Church controls many times the resources, wealth, and manpower Caleb does, even with Chisholm added to this new empire of his. Clinton is a bigoted, fornicating, self-serving, gluttonous, wine-swilling, sanctimonious pig with delusions of godhood and a self-righteous sense of zealotry, Olivia said flatly, with a venom Narmon had never heard from her before. He blinked in surprise at hearing it now and drew back far enough to look into her eyes once more. She looked back without flinching and saw a fire burning behind them, one he'd never suspected might be there, which was an oversight for which he would find it hard to forgive himself. I'm not exactly blind, you know, dear, she told him tartly, but my point at the moment is that someone like Clinton would have a hard enough time standing up to Caleb and Charlion by themselves. With you added to the mix, that pig in Zion is as overmatched as I'd be trying to arm wrestle that Captain Athrawis of Caleb's. Despite himself, Narmon smiled. She glared at him for a moment, and then she chuckled and leaned forward, resting her cheek against his chest. I know you've never thought of yourself as the very image of the dashing warrior Prince Love, she said. Well, neither have I. But I've always thought of you as something rather more important than that, someone who looks at the future and his own responsibilities without flinching and without deluding himself. And while I'd never want you to get a swelled head over it, you're also one of the smartest men I know. If I'm so smart, then why did I just end up swearing fealty to Caleb instead of the other way around? He asked in a half-jesting tone. I didn't say you were infallible, dear, just smart. Besides, to use that charming idiom your son has picked up from those dreadful novels of his, you can only play the cards you're dealt. I believe someone's just offered you an entirely new deck, though, and from what I've seen of you this time around, I don't think you're even tempted to try dealing off the bottom. Not any more, he acknowledged, then shook his head, half in wry amusement and half in bemused disbelief. Even if I were tempted, which, to my own considerable surprise, I'm not, it would be incredibly stupid of me. There aren't any bridges back to Zion now, love, and there's no way I could possibly take over and maintain the core of opposition to the Temple which Caleb's been able to put together. Trying to betray him at this point would be like deciding to cut the throat of your best helmsman in the middle of a hurricane. And I'm very much afraid, his smile was tart enough to sour milk, that this voyage is going to be long enough that I'll be completely out of practice before things ever get stabilised enough for me to contemplate any sort of treachery.
Good.
She nestled more firmly against him.
Good,
she repeated. Do you know, he said softly, bending to kiss the part of her hair, I believe I agree with you.